well. Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 4, the Gospel of John in chapter 4. And what a blessing the decorations are this year. Appreciate those that were able to step up and help get things presented here for the Christmas December season here. And then also wanted to remind you of, if you did not receive one of the Christmas CDs, this is a Lighthouse Music. Brother Buddy and the choir did a Christmas CD with the specials as well. And I think this is going to be a real blessing to you. And we're giving a copy to every family. So if you did not get one this morning, then as you leave tonight, you can pick up one of these CDs. And then if you'd like to have more than one, then you can stop by the bookstore and you can purchase those in the bookstore. But you get one free CD per family, so you can make sure you take that with you tonight as well. John chapter 4, on Sunday nights we've been going through and just preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And are looking to do this in chronological order. We started with him at 12 years of age and the first message that we received from Christ and at 12, and then we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we finished up the Sermon on the Mount, all that. That's the blueprint for New Testament Christianity, just a tremendous, tremendous passage of Scripture. So we finished the Sermon on the Mount. After the Sermon on the Mount, we find that John records for us in John chapter 4, Jesus going through Samaria in the first year of his public ministry. And so in chronological order, this would follow the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a reason that he would go through Samaria. And the first reason was this Samaritan woman by the well, that when she accepted who Jesus was, it led to revival in Samaria. And what a blessing when we accept who Jesus is, how that it will lead to revival in our own spirit. And possibly in our own families, and our churches, and our cities. That's what we need today. We need especially the people in the United States of America, just to acknowledge who Jesus is and live accordingly. And so, very powerful passage of Scripture here. So let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be reading verse 7 down to verse 26 tonight. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and again, we thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, as we're needy people, we need all the spiritual insight that we can receive so we can have a better understanding of the entire word of God. So I pray tonight, God, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to be receptive and to understand the teachings of thy word. Bless tonight the preaching, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, no doubt God had this planned. Jesus knew that he must go through Samaria because he knew exactly what he was going to be presenting to this Samaritan woman. And he knew that through her faith and her reception of him as a Messiah, it could possibly lead to the revival in Samaria. And so this is what we have in the teachings of Christ and how he taught the Samaritan woman, and we need to learn from this as well. The first thing he did is at the well, the water of life was presented. In verse 7 there, Jesus was there without the other disciples. He didn't want them to be a distraction to this woman. And he seen this Samaritan woman who came to the well, and he asked her to give me drink. He was setting up the situation so that she would say what she said and think what she thought, and then he could help her to have right thinking. And can I tell you, sometimes we go through trials and we go through things so that we might have right thinking. And our thinking sometimes is not what it should be. And so we find here that this was what was taking place here. And she somewhat is a little upset with him, thinking that he looked down on her, and yet he wanted her to get him water, for he didn't have anything to get water from. So she thought he was dependent upon her. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She had no interest in helping him. She had no interest in giving him water. And she's letting him know that I'm a Samaritan woman. You look down on me. Don't expect me to get you water. But then Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God. Now he's presenting, getting her to think about God. He's getting her maybe to go back to some of her past when she had heard about the Messiah. She definitely knew about the Messiah that was to come. And so she had had some instruction. She had had some teachings of the Bible, even though she was not living as if she knew the Bible. And so we find here that Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now again, we find here he's presenting this idea of living water. He's presenting to her, he wants her to be getting to the place of receiving salvation, and understanding that by receiving him, that she's going to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God and have everlasting eternal life. He knows this. She does not know this. And sometimes when we are witnessing to people, we sometimes we're confused and thinking everybody knows what I know. And everybody doesn't know what you know. If you know the Bible, very few actually know what you know. And there's so many, even in America, and even right here in this Christian nation, that have never heard a clear presentation of salvation. Because they have bought into religion. They have bought into philosophies, as we mentioned somewhat this morning. And they have not opened their ears to the truth. They really don't think they have need to hear. They think that they are settled in whatever they believe. And so we find that that's taken place here. And so the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Somewhat making fun of him. Because she's not thinking spiritually. She's thinking that he's still talking about getting water out of the well. And we find here then Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the physical water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Now again, whether she connected it with him giving living water, he's presenting that. She still is not fully understanding of what's taking place yet. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, people will hear, and yet even though they hear it, they're not applying it. You can preach the word of God and you can hear a message from the Bible, but if you don't listen to be able to apply it, it'll go in one ear and out the other ear. You know, you're just wasting time. You're just spending time, if you will. And you're not really looking for it to apply it. Because if you're looking to apply something different, means that you're lacking something. Praise the Lord. You know, because none of us will ever obtain all that God has for us in understanding and knowledge and application. It's something that we strive to be able to learn more and to understand more, so that we might be able to apply more in our own lives concerning God. And so we find this is what's taking place. Back and forth, the water of life was presented. Jesus presented this from verse 7 down to verse 14. He's presenting to her what she needed to hear without her understanding that she needed to hear it. Okay? Verse 15, the reason she asked what she asked for in verse 15, was not asking for salvation. She said, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She is still not thinking spiritually. She is thinking that he is talking about this physical thirst and a physical labor to be able to get into this well, to bring the water up. She's not thinking spiritually. If you're witnessing to somebody, whether it be friends or family or co-workers, when you are trying to help them to come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have to get them on a spiritual level because they're thinking physical level. She was not thinking spiritually. Possibly she was even making fun of what this man, that's what she still thinks he is, just a Jew, a male Jew. And she's making fun of what he's talking about. She was not ready to receive Christ as Savior when she said, give me this water. Not ready. Because of 11, verse 11 and 12, thou have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? And yes, he is. But she's trying to shame him into thinking he's greater than, because she doesn't believe him to be greater, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle and all this. So she is coming from a different perspective than what Jesus is. And many a times as a born-again believer and we're trying to help the lost to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're not on the same level. And we've got to get them to a spiritual level. He presented what needed to be presented concerning living water, everlasting life. Everything was there. But she had to be able to see it. Which brings us to the next point. Jesus gets her to see herself as a sinner. A person will never get saved. They might go through the motions. They might say certain words. Give me this water. Without even understanding it, under believing it. A person will not get saved until they see themselves as a sinner, in need of salvation. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Now she's thinking, why are you going there? Yeah. And Jesus knew all along what's going on. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands." She knew it. She knew her past. She knew her life. She knew what kind of sinful conditions she had been living in. "For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." She's living in adultery, or at least fornication. "In that sayest thou truly." Married five times. And now, even if you don't look at divorce, divorcing five men, now you are living out of wedlock and in a sinful situation. She didn't want to admit to her sinful life. Because many don't want to focus on their sin. They want to continue to live the life that they want to live without any conviction. The problem with that is, if we don't understand what sin will do to us, then we will never get to the place where we get saved nor live a life that God can bless. Because sometimes even believers want to blind themselves to living in sin. And they justify it, even though they're saved, and they're justifying living in sin, but yet it's a sin that keeps you separated in fellowship with Christ. We have to be able to see ourselves as sinners to be saved, and we have to be able to see ourselves as saved sinners to be able to continue to live a life that is pleasing to God. You're either a lost sinner or a saved sinner tonight. But mark it down, you're a sinner. I need to see myself as a sinner. I see myself as a saved sinner because I know that I confessed my sin before Jesus Christ and called upon the name of the Lord to be able to forgive me for my sins and to save my soul and to give me a gift of everlasting life. Because I, not by my own merits, not by what I've done, but because of what he did for me, I trusted in him and I put my faith in him. And now I'm saved, but I still have a sin nature. My sin nature will taint my thinking. I will not have pure thoughts all the time. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Just because you're saved does not mean that from that moment forward, I will never have another ungodly thought. I will never have another lust of the eye, or I will never have to worry about the lust of the flesh. I will never have to worry about the pride of life. That's not true. Because the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes from a sin nature that I have within me. I will have that as a lost man. I will also have to combat that as a saved man. The difference is, if I'm saved, I have the help of God dwelling in me to overcome those thoughts. I have the help of God dwelling in me to overcome those ways and those lusts and those prideful thinking, that pride that just messes us up, because I have to come across as someone that has got it together and that never does anything wrong and has this and has that, and our pride will destroy us if we let it. That sin nature taints everything about me. And that sin nature taints everything about you. That's why we have to acknowledge it. A person that will not admit that they're a sinner and not willing to face the consequences of sin and repent of sin cannot be saved. That's part of salvation. Part of salvation is admitting that I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt that it is throughout the Scriptures, New Testament, helping us to see that first of all, it's why Jesus came, to pay a sin debt that I owed and could not pay. If I did not have a sin nature, if I didn't have to worry about it, Jesus did not have to come. If I could have been saved by any other means but by the blood of Christ, then Christ would have died in vain, and he did not die in vain. I have to acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner, and as I acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner, I need to face that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And once I have faced that, I've admitted it, I face it, and then I have to decide, do I want to live with my sin? Do I want to live with the consequences of my sin? When Jesus wants to forgive me of my sin, when Jesus wants to come to my heart and save me and give me a new life in Christ, yeah, I want to repent of my sin. I want salvation. If you don't desire salvation, if you don't understand it, first of all, and then if you don't desire it, you can't get saved. You can't get saved because somebody forced you to say some words. You can't be saved because, well, I was raised in a Christian home. No, you have to face it yourself. Because all of us will stand at some point in time and give an account for ourselves. If you're saved, you'll give an account of it being a saved sinner. Yeah. If you're lost, you'll give an account of being a lost sinner. And that's at the great white throne judgment. The other will be according to our works, and that will be at the judgment seat of Christ for those that are saved. Yeah. So this is what's going on. The woman saith, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." I love that part, because she says, whoa, there's no way you could have known that about me. I didn't wear 5 rings. You know, I've hid that from everybody. Yeah. She said in verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem." Now, and ye say as a Jew. That's what she's talking about. She's still seeing him as a Jew. But she's thinking more spiritual now. Her thoughts went to worshiping God, spiritual, instead of getting the water out of the well. And possibly some seeds that were planted in her life early on concerning a Messiah that was to come. worshiping God who's going to send a Savior into the world for her. And so she says here in verse 20, our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she's turning now. She's not thinking as physical anymore as she is starting to put it together that this is a prophet or somebody sent from God to speak to me about what's going on in my life. Yeah. Verse 21 down to verse 24, Jesus reveals it is not the place of worship that's most important. It's the object of worship. It's the object of worship. He says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. It's not the idea of where. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Now she's going back, he's going back to the seed of Abraham. He's going back to the Abrahamic covenant. And he's saying that we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Or he's saying the salvation come out of the Jewish race. It is connected with the Abrahamic covenant, God's chosen people to bring forth salvation to all the world. There's no doubt that Jesus was born as a Jew under the Abrahamic covenant. But he was born to be able to take away the sins of the world. Which was actually given back over in the book of Genesis in the Abrahamic covenant. Let me read that to you. In Genesis in chapter 12. And you know this well, but I just want to put it all together for you here tonight. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from the father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, that's Israel, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee, in that seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed. In every dispensation of time, all families of the earth could understand the God of creation through his representation of Israel. Israel was to represent God to the world. And you've heard me say this many a times, because this New Testament, church age, Christianity is to represent God to the world. Born again believers, you are saved to represent the true God to the world. And all families of the earth can be blessed if they would just simply believe in and receive Jesus Christ as the water of life. Yeah. Go back with me to our text here, chapter 4. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She understood that he was God. When Messiah comes, he is the Savior. He will tell us all things. That's when it clicked. When Jesus looked to her and he said, I that speak unto thee am he. It all came to understanding everything that he had started out telling her about the water. And if she would have asked him, he would have given her instead of her given to him. All she had to do is ask him. He would give her this everlasting water. She would never have to thirst again. She would never have to return to the well because it was within her. It was everlasting life. And it clicked, and at that moment, she trusted him as the Messiah, as her personal Lord and Savior. See, by faith, she was to see spiritual things. By faith, she would accept him as being the Messiah. See, faith tells me that there's much more to life than what I can see. Too often we're just looking at the physical well, the physical water. There's so much more than just the physical. Not just physical water, but spiritual living water. Faith tells me that eternal things are more important than temporal things. The physical things of this life are temporal. The spiritual things that are available to me in this life are eternal. Faith tells me to place my trust in God and not man. Too many putting their faith and trust in man, religion, philosophies, your own thinking. Faith says that's not enough. Faith tells me to place my trust in God, so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Finally, faith tells me that God will always work it out spiritually. That's more important than what we go through physically. While we're going through the physical trials of life, I need to stay focused on the spiritual, because the spiritual will overpower the physical. And if you stay focused on the spiritual, then you can know that God in heaven is going to work it all out according to his purpose, according to his designed plan. Wow, if we can only just grasp that and see Jesus for who he is the Messiah. This led to revival in Samaria. Look down to verse 39. We'll close here. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Once she received it, she couldn't keep quiet. Once she received it, she had to go tell everyone that would listen to her who it was that she had just found. The Messiah has come. The Messiah is here. Come see him. Come hear him. And many of the Samaritans, especially after she told them what he was able to know about her, he was not an imposter. He was the true Savior. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testifieth, he told me all that I did. She knew that he could tell her everything that she ever did. He told her enough for her to know that he knew everything about her. Yeah. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And revival broke out. A sinner lady turns out to be a tremendous servant of the Lord, and it changed her life and all those around her. The teachings of Christ, that's how we need to reach others. We need to take lessons from how Jesus himself won this lost religious woman, Samaritan woman at the well, to believing in him and receiving everlasting life. You can learn from this. You'll be able to convince others. You'll be able to help others have revival in their own lives and their families and all the way around the world. It's what we need today. People believing in Jesus as the Messiah. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Right after the Sermon on the Mount, we find that Jesus must go through Samaria because he knew the people need to hear, and need to have an example on how to win the lost to Christ. I trust this will be a help to all of us in following the example of Christ. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Again, we thank you for the teachings of Christ and the example that he lived before us and how he was able to lead this Samaritan woman to the saving knowledge that she was looking for and searching for. She received Christ. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Likewise, to know, first of all, that we're saved sinners. Never lose sight that we're still sinners and looking to save and lead others to the saving knowledge of Christ. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.